Welcome to Bible Talk. This is a podcast where we are going to read the Bible.
And we're going to talk about it. It's a podcast for everyday people like me and you. We're going to be in Acts chapter 26.
Okay.
Just a short reminder or backdrop. Paul has been imprisoned for a couple of years and has been called to give account for his actions. And he currently finds himself appearing in this chapter before the governor of Jerusalem, a man named Festus, and the new king, or newer king, a man named King Agrippa. And we'll start in verse 1.
Okay.
Where the scripture says, "Then Agrippa said to Paul, 'You have permission to speak for yourself.' So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. 'King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently. The Jewish people all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They have known me for a long time and can testify, if they're willing, that I conformed to the strictest sect of our religion, living as a Pharisee. And now, it is because of my hope and what God has promised our ancestors that I am on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night. King Agrippa, it is because of this hope that these Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead? I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the Lord's people in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was so obsessed with persecuting them that I even hunted them down in foreign cities. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, King Agrippa, I was on the road. I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground. And then I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, 'Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' Then I asked, 'Who are you, Lord?' 'I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting,' the Lord replied. 'Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and a witness of what you have seen and will see of me. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me.' So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and then to the Gentiles, I preach that they should repent and turn to God and demonstrate their repentance by their deeds." So we'll take a break there and talk about it, because this is Bible Talk.
Right.
That's what we do. Paul is giving his testimony.
Yes.
Now to a really kind of elite audience. He's got the king of Israel and the governor of that province, the Roman governor of the province.
Yes.
And he really lays out the three key qualities to any time a person gives a testimony. If you ever called to give a testimony about spiritual things, what were you like? What happened? What do you like now? Or what was it like? What happened? What is it like now? Those are kind of the three legs of that stool. And Paul gives you all those things. He tells you what he was like. He was a devoted Pharisee, very serious persecutor of the church, got so zealous about it, he went to foreign cities to do it, and even admits here to being a bit underhanded. He tried to force people,
right,
or draw people into blaspheming, which no one should want the name of the Lord to be blasphemed. But in his zeal to try and get people arrested or, you know, in a position where they would be seen as guilty, he tried to draw them into that. So that's what he was like. And then what happened? He had this vision along the road to Damascus. And he gets into detail there. And if this story sounds familiar, it's because it's the third time now that we've read about it. We read about it when it happened in Acts 9, his testimony about it in Acts 22, and now his testimony again here in Acts 26. Each time a little more detail or different detail.
Right, yes.
And Paul says, that's what happened. And so I wasn't going to be disobedient, he says in verse 19. I'm not going to be disobedient to a vision from heaven. Right. And so this is who I am now.
Yes.
And the part of who I am now, it says in verse 20, is that I go around and I preach that people should repent, which means see things differently or think differently. The Greek word there is metanoia, where we get our sort of where it's very similar to our word metamorphosis or change. Mm-hmm. But instead of change of shape, it's change of mind or change of knowledge. And then so after repentance, it says, then we turn to God. And then we demonstrate that repentance by our deeds. So that's who Paul is now. That's what he goes about preaching.
Yes. I think the thing that really stood out to me as you were reading this just reminded me of the passage in Mark 10 where Jesus said that he told his followers, you know, you're going to be handed over and persecuted for my sake. But he specifically says that you will be handed over to the local councils, that they would be brought before governors and kings. And that was way before Paul. I mean, years now before Paul ended up in this conversation.
Before
with
governors and kings.
And it's just, it's incredible to think that this is a part of that prophecy, the promise, and that by allowing yourself to be used and to be a sacrifice, the kingdom would continue to bear fruit, which it did. You know, we see that after Paul, but I just thought that was significant because that's exactly who he has an audience with right now.
Yeah. And he uses it essentially to call them to repentance.
Sure does. He does. Yeah.
As he's talking about what I tell everyone everywhere, he's telling them in this place. And that idea of repentance, by the way, often misunderstood to mean something like feel bad or feel guilty or to say you're sorry or to apologize. And that's not really what repentance is. Those things are a result of repentance, perhaps.
Right.
But they're not repentance itself. The idea there is that mind change leads us to want to act differently.
Right.
And so that mind change turns someone to God like it did with Paul.
True.
Toward Jesus specifically. And then once a person's repented, yeah, their actions follow. Their fruit comes off of that tree of, you know, new convictions.
Right,
and
yes.
So part of his repentance is he's preaching to these guys the way that he is. And we'll pick it back up in verse 21.
Okay. This is why some Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But God has helped me to this very day. So I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I am saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Messiah would suffer and, as the first to rise from the dead, would bring the message of light to his own people and to the Gentiles. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. You're out of your mind, Paul, he shouted. Your great learning is driving you insane. I am not insane, most excellent Festus, Paul replied. What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. The king arose, and with him the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them. After they left the room, they began saying to one another, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar.
So the conversation or the testimony by Paul reaches a very crucial point. He is drawing King Agrippa into a decision because Agrippa is king of the
Jews. Right.
And therefore has at least some knowledge of the temple, the Ten Commandments,
right.
The Torah,
Mosaic law,
Judaism,
mm-hmm.
the prophets, so on and so forth. And so as he's drawing them in, it's getting uncomfortable, and Festus tries to kind of change the subject or deflect. And he's like, Paul, you crazy, in verse 24.
Right.
You've learned a lot, and I think it's making you insane. And Paul says, no, I'm not insane. Most excellent Festus, what I'm saying is true and reasonable.
Mm-hmm.
It's what happened, and it shouldn't surprise anybody, really, who has this faith that King Agrippa and I have.
Right.
It shouldn't surprise anybody that this happened. It's reasonable, because we believe in a Messiah. It's what our religion mm-hmm. points toward. I'm just saying, essentially, I've met the Messiah.
Yes.
And it's brought about this great change in me. So, then he asks in verse 27, King Agrippa,
do you believe
in the prophets? And then he answers the question.
I know you do. Yeah. Don't we sitting up here trying to deflect and change the subject and not take personal responsibility?
Yeah. So he's like, hey, I know you believe in the prophets.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what do you think? And that's where Agrippa dismisses things in verse 28 and says, do you think you can persuade me in such a short time? And Paul's response is really cool, because what does he say?
He says, I hope everyone that hears me today will become what I am, that they would all become Christians.
And he says, whether that's in a short period of time or a long period of time, mm-hmm. it's what I hope for.
Yeah.
So, try to not put time constraints on our testimony and the effectiveness of it or the witness that we bear and how it's going to affect people. If we want it to be an immediate epiphany for somebody and conversion, and that's the only way we can measure whether it's been successful, then a lot of times we're going to think, oh, people don't want to hear this or don't need to hear this.
Right.
But if we're willing to take the short time or long approach, like Paul said he was in verse 29, then we just understand that our testimony is a seed that is planted, that it's meaningful on whatever level it needs to be at that moment.
Yes.
And the Lord will take it from there. We don't know if King Agrippa ever becomes a Christian or doesn't become a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that Paul certainly made an effort while he was before these people as he shared his testimony.
Yes.
And again, what was it like? What happened? And what's it like now?
So can we touch on verse 32 before
Sure.
we... So Agrippa is having this conversation with Festus, and they both agree, before this, all right, we don't like what he's saying, but here's the truth. I mean, there's no reason for him to be put to death or to remain imprisoned. And then he makes a statement, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. So what's your understanding of that? What do you draw to that comment?
Well, it goes back to a couple of chapters earlier when they were getting ready to beat Paul. Mm-hmm. And he asked, you know, if it was lawful what they were doing because he was a Roman citizen. And then when they tried to apologize and more of the legal proceedings were unfolding, he made his appeal to Caesar.
So if he just would have accepted their apology and been set free at that point, obviously he's not ending up in a room with Festus and Agrippa.
Yeah, if he would have just accepted the apology, he wouldn't be there at this point, imprisoned and speaking to this kind of audience for sure.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and you know, because he appealed to Caesar and Caesar's in Rome, then Rome is where he's going to end up eventually heading. But those underlings of Caesar need to make sure that they know what they're sending them there for. What is the case against him? You don't just send somebody to Caesar.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. You got to listen to this guy. We don't know why he's there. Mm. That's disrespectful to the emperor.
Sure.
So yeah. That's why he keeps, you know, giving his testimonies.
That's good. And then my other question is then, Paul has dual citizenship then, essentially. He's a Roman citizen, but he's also a Jew and a very strict Jew. So he's Israelite, but he's also Roman,
yeah,
correct?
And so
how do you get away from, is he a Jewish Gentile then? You know what I mean?
No, it had more to do with Paul being born during the time when the Romans were already in control of the city in which he was born or the province in which he was born. It's okay. Like someone who's Hawaiian, right? Yeah. If they were born in 1902, maybe they weren't an American. They were just a Hawaiian.
Gotcha.
But America annexes Hawaii, I think, in 1950. And then if they're born any time after that, they're still Hawaiian, but they're also now an American citizen because that becomes one of the 50 states.
No, that makes sense. Good stuff.
Okay, that's the end of our podcast for today.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us. And we always like to leave you with a thought to ponder.
Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, but do what it says.